Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. A botnet of unknown intent has been discovered and is spreading at a frightening rate. Google's Project Loon has brought internet and cellular service to hurricane-devastated Puerto Rico. Samsung hopes to succeed where other vendors have failed. They want to bring the full desktop Linux experience to smartphones. And do you have Altima Player or Folex on your Mac? You might need to wipe everything and reinstall macOS because of a nasty bit of malware that came with their popular software and is giving hackers full access to absolutely everything, including your iCloud account. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
You've got mad skills. Now hone them. Learn new skills or improve your existing ones with online video tutorials and training from lynda.com through our special link at cat5.tv/lynda. Learn software, technology, creative, and business skills you can use today to help you achieve your professional goals. Join today and start learning. We'll give you this chance to try it absolutely free with unlimited access to all of the courses. Sign up now for free, cat5.tv/lynda.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. As we speak, miscreants are assembling a massive army of hacked Internet of Things devices, and at a much faster rate than previous botnets. This new cyber militia of compromised gadgets, dubbed IoT_Reaper, or Reaper by experts at Kihoo 360 NetLab, can be instructed by its masters to attack websites and kick services offline. The botnet's foot soldiers, mainly press-ganged internet-connected cameras, home routers, and similar gear, are located in more than a million organizations globally, claimed security biz Checkpoint on Thursday. At first, it was assumed the malware that infected Gizmos to form this latest army was a variant of the Mirai botnet that took over hundreds of thousands of internet-connected equipment in 2016. However, security researchers now think it's actually another family of malicious software. There's no word yet on what exactly the botnet will be used for either. The Reaper malware is spreading globally by exploiting various vulnerabilities in embedded devices such as CVE-2017-8225 to steal and use the usernames and passwords of the gadget's web-based control panels, ultimately to commandeer them. For example, one of the botnet's drones, a hacked camera running a go-ahead embedded web server on TCP port 81, had a system.ini file that had changed to include a netcat command that opened a reverse shell, a backdoor in other words. This gave the Reaper masters the command line to the device. Once the botnet's malware was on the computer, it then attempted to infect other equipment on the internet. Any subsequently hacked device would also cruise up and down the information superhighway in search of a more vulnerable gizmos to hijack. Right now, check to make sure you're not exposing a vulnerable device to the internet. Apply patches if you can, look out for suspicious behavior on your network, and take a gadget offline if it's infected. Wow. Okay. So my thought is, okay, what's the end game in this? Is this like leading to something where everything will be in line and then we'll see a major attack once everything is kind of...
Are you asking me to create a conspiracy theory?
Right, or is it just like an experiment where like perhaps sure. It's very benign. No. Maybe it's just like, let's see what we can do.
We've spoken on the show previously about malicious software as a form of warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to not quite grasp that.
Right.
Because warfare to us is war.
Right.
So to think that there would be cyber warfare, it's really, really hard to get our heads around.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about an infection of this scale, so
right.
these are internet connected devices, so home routers and cameras and things like that that have internet connectivity, apps and devices.
I feel like everything now has internet.
Yeah,
you know,
it
like
really does.
Yeah, the internet.
So if the devices are exploited, now you've got thousands potentially millions of devices that create, you've heard the term botnet.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
So let's, you know, when we hear botnet, we think, okay, well, it's some kind of virus or some kind of malware. Well, it's not exactly like that. Think about a supercomputer.
Right.
So what is a supercomputer? It's basically thousands of individual computers connected together and created to be one supercomputer. So they there's the power of thousands of other computers all connected together to give the power of one supercomputer.
Okay.
So with the Internet of Things being compromised in this particular manner, now all of these modems and all of these cameras and all of these devices that are Internet connected, we've heard about in the news previously, even POP machines at colleges are Internet connected so that they can update things and change things remotely, and they were compromised as well in a different attack. So now they become part of the botnet, part of the supercomputer. So why does a malicious person or group of people create a supercomputer? It's to be able to process astronomical amounts of data at unfathomable rates.
Right.
So in legitimate business, that's done by creating supercomputers, creating in-house botnets, in a manner of speaking, like creating legitimate supercomputers.
Right.
That's what Google has. That's what Amazon has. That's what Facebook has. They've got supercomputers. So this is not a legitimate means of doing it. This is a malicious way of somebody, who knows who, creating a supercomputer. Is it to find a cure for cancer? Probably not.
It's not like a college experiment, perhaps?
Not likely.
Oh.
I mean, it could be, but that particular college student, when they hand in their thesis, is going to jail.
Right.
So it's not a wise thing.
Right.
We've heard of stories like that where someone thinks they're going to figure out something in security and they end up going to jail. So that is pretty unlikely.
So the only way to protect yourself is to take your devices offline and keep them offline?
Not necessarily. Now, these particular kinds of exploits happen because of backdoors in the systems, in particular things like leaving the password default.
Like 1111? Like every password is?
Well, when your internet service provider shows up and installs your internet at your new house, they give you a modem and they say, here's the password for the Wi-Fi. And you put it in your phone, now you've got internet and it works. So you're happy. But what you're not realizing is that that device, you're using the default password.
Mm-hmm.
The service provider has that password. Other people have that password. And that password is quite easily compromised as well. So that's one particular instance of a device that has a default password. Now, you think about the Internet of Things. You've got a toaster that is internet connected for some crazy reason.
Right.
Because this exists. You've got fridges.
Yes.
A fridge makes sense. I mean, you can put your shopping list on the fridge and you can, and it's internet connected.
My toothbrush talks to my phone.
There you go.
Yeah.
So these internet-connected devices, do you ever think to change the password on your fridge thinking someone's going to compromise it?
Right.
We don't really clue into that until now somebody through the internet has gotten in through the default passwords and things like that.
Right.
Sometimes changes the password so you no longer have access. And then you're part of this botnet, which is quite potentially to be used for cyber warfare, which is a bad thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So change your passwords.
Change your passwords.
Always change your passwords. And if you think you've been compromised, you may have to wipe the device and start over with a fresh firmware. That's just the nature of it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you. All right. Mobile phone data services have been boosted in blacked out areas of hurricane-hit Puerto Rico by balloons that were provided by Google's parent company, Alphabet. Project Loon devices beam signals between each other and to users on the ground. This extends communication networks in places where infrastructure is scarce or has been damaged. The balloons will allow residents with LTE phones to send and receive text messages and access the web. However, much of the country is still without electricity and more than a quarter of the population lacks safe drinking water. Alistair Westgarth, head of Project Loon, said this is the first time we've used our new machine learning powered algorithms to keep balloons clustered over Puerto Rico. So we're still learning how to best do this. As we get more familiar with the constantly shifting winds in this region, we hope to keep the balloons over areas where connectivity is needed for as long as possible. So these balloons are powered by AI, Right?
In a manner of speaking, yeah. So you think about a hot air balloon, it can only go up or down, but
right.
you go up or down in order to control its horizontal movement as well, because you can follow wind drifts and things like that. So by monitoring the airflow, by monitoring conditions, the artificial intelligence, if you will, it's machine learning is essentially what it is.
Okay.
So it's pretty simple as far as the algorithms themselves go, but it learns from its own mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So if it goes up when it should have gone down, it's going to go, oh, maybe next time I'll go down when I think I should go up. And so it learns and it evolves and it becomes smarter in a great way of, you know, in a manner of speaking.
Okay.
It's pretty cool stuff. So to have stayed over now their first test flight at Alphabet or X was a little while ago and stayed up for 3 months, a little over 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Without man controlling it.
Like right.
Without a person controlling it. So it's pretty cool.
Nice. Now, what does the LTE mean? Like, if your phone didn't have LTE...
It's just the grade of the service that you have.
Okay, so...
Like, fast internet is LTE on your phone.
Okay, so...
If you have anything less... So basically, in a war-torn place or in a devastated by hurricane place like Puerto Rico, you'd be looking at high-speed mm-hmm. internet on your phone. Like, we're talking 25 megabits per second on your phone in a place like that, provided by a balloon.
That's perfect. And you can let people know where you are and that you're safe. Very
exactly.
cool.
My wife made an interesting point, if I may.
Yeah.
Because I always thought, oh, well, that's great. They can let people overseas know if they've got family and stuff. And Becca made the comment that it never really clicked for me, but they can now communicate with one another
mm-hmm.
as well. The infrastructure's there now to communicate with people in the same town and be able
right.
to reach out and say, you know, how you doing, or, you know, do you need me to bring you anything, or
exactly.
whatever else.
I mean, phones are the main way to communicate, so.
Well, and you've got email, texting, mm-hmm. phone, everything on LTE.
Very cool. Speaking of phones, Samsung wants to bring the full power of desktop Linux to its smartphones.
Nice.
Yeah. The mobile giant announced this week that the Linux on Galaxy project will give smartphones the capability to run Linux-based distributions on mobile devices. So if you dream of using the smartphone in your pocket as a desktop Linux PC, you'll be pleased to know that Samsung clearly shares the same dream. Linux on Galaxy will, based on the information currently available, be distributed as an app. It will be able to run multiple operating systems, likely including Ubuntu. Linux distros run on the exact same Linux kernel that Android uses, and with no virtualization or emulation involved, performance theoretically should be excellent. But the true power will be unlocked when used with the Samsung desktop dock accessory. This allows compatible phones to connect to an external display, a mouse and keyboard, and other peripherals. The Samsung Galaxy S8 phone already allows users to use Android apps with a larger screen with a desktop-style Android UI when docked with the DeX. But while Android is great as a smartphone and tablet OS, it's not so hot as a desktop one. Samsung says its users want the convenience of their mobile devices, but also sometimes need the tried and true desktop computing environment, especially when it comes to interacting with productivity tools and entertainment contents that are best viewed on a larger monitor. Linux on Galaxy is still in the early stages of development. There's no word on which devices the initiative plans to support, so I wouldn't suggest rushing out to buy something Samsung branded just yet. Motorola, Microsoft, and Canonical all tried and failed to bring convergence to the masses. Can the smartphone giant Samsung succeed where others have failed? Let us know what you think in the comments. Wow. Now, why has convergence failed? If it's failed with all of the other platforms, why would Samsung go ahead and
right.
pick it up?
Yeah, why would they start making something that has already failed by everyone else? So, you know, I don't have an exact answer to that. I can speculate a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You think about iPhones.
Right.
And you think about Android
mm-hmm.
and Google. And these are all familiar household names.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a couple of different things about them. First of all, they've got an app store that is filled chock full of stuff.
Right.
So you're not going to just switch phone providers, switch phone OSs to a phone that doesn't have all the apps that you usually use.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make any sense to you. I know with me, when I got BlackBerry, it didn't make any sense because they had disconnected the Facebook app. There was no Skype. It just was useless to me.
Right.
So so that's kind of the same kind of scenario I would expect. The App Store would be a big thing. But also, iPhone, Android, Google, Samsung, LG. These are all names that when you hear them, you think they're good phones.
Right.
I know these names. Even if you don't really know these names, you know these names. So if Ubuntu, Canonical, comes out with Ubuntu Phone and it's some obscure manufacturer that nobody has ever heard of,
right,
we're not really going to jump on the bandwagon. And it's such a shame because they may be fantastic phones. Who knows?
But they need the name.
They need the name. Samsung, on the other hand, is one of those names that may be able to pull this off just based on their name alone.
Right.
And it may be enough to dig them out of the dirt.
Yeah, they've had a rough time of late. So this would be a really good way for them to get a good...
They can do it without blowing up your docking station. That'd be great. So to be clear, imagine, just quickly, because we're running low on time, take your phone, plug it into the monitor now, your monitor lights up with the phone display, and you've got your keyboard and mouse, and it becomes a computer. But it's got Linux on it, so it's not a phone OS, so you're not feeling like, you know, the ones, you know, where you've got to swipe like a tablet connected to a screen. It just doesn't make any sense. It turns into a desktop operating system.
Sort of reminds me of like the Nintendo Switch ideology.
A little bit.
It's right? Where it switches to the big screen and then it's...
one device to another.
Yeah. Seamlessly.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right. So it's going to be an unpleasant week for some Mac users who are facing a complete system wipe and reinstall after hackers stashed malware in legitimate applications. Altim Software, which makes the popular Elmedia player and download manager, has confessed the latest version of these two apps came with an unwelcome extra, the rather horrid OSX.Proton malware. The botnet, which was injected into downloads of the applications, was spotted by Security Shop ESET, which alerted Elmedia. A subsequent investigation revealed miscreants had got into the developer's servers, implanted the malware into the download files, and then let the company infect its users as they fetched the software. Proton is a remote control Trojan designed specifically for Mac systems. It opens a backdoor granting root-level command line access to commandeer the computer and can steal passwords, encryption, and VPN keys, as well as cryptocurrencies from infected systems.
Oh.
That's Bitcoin. It can even gain access to victims' iCloud account regardless of whether two-factor authentication is used or not. ESET warns that a total system OS reinstall is the only guaranteed way to totally rid your system of this malware. Wow. So how would you know if you've been infected?
That's a good question. Now, there is a lot of information out there for Mac users. There are particular files that this Trojan leaves behind on your hard drive. So it makes it fairly obvious that you're infected by finding these files.
Okay.
Off the top of my head, I don't know what those files are, but you'll find those if you go to any security bulletin about this. Malwarebytes is a fantastic source, and in fact, Malwarebytes for Mac will not only detect but remove residual residue of this Trojan.
Okay.
Now, I think he said is right, though, that because this thing has root-level access, that means it is the super user on your Mac, even Malwarebytes can't guarantee that it has removed everything that's happened because it's a backdoor. So the hackers may have already remoted into your computer and done other things that Malwarebytes would have no way to know whether or not they did those.
So you would be best just to assume that you're infected?
No.
No.
Find out if you are by checking for those files, or
okay.
The easy peasy way is install Malwarebytes for Mac and run a scan. If it detects the malware, then we know that, hey, we've got to probably, just to be safe, you can remove it, but because of the nature of this one, you have no way to know whether or not they've put other things in there.
Right.
That's the tough thing here. So that's why ESET says a system wipe is the only way to know that you are clean from this one after you've been infected.
That's
brutal.
That is horrible.
And Mac users tend to think that they're safe.
Of course they do, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, big thanks this week to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.